You're waking up with Pete Sargent on AM 1050 WLIP.
WLIP morning show. It's Tuesday morning, and that means we say good morning to Dr. Russ Brewer. Dr. Russ, how you doing?
Good morning, Pete. I'm doing great. Nice and warm outside, so it's always kind of fun to roll in the nice spring weather.
It does make getting out of the house early in the morning a little more palatable.
Right.
It's in the wintertime.
Well, took my wife to the airport Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. There was frost on the grass.
Eesh.
I'm like, yeah. What's this stuff?
Yeah, right? That's not a good feeling.
And yesterday was 82
something. Yeah, it was a warm day yesterday.
Nice warm day.
You know, we get a good workout in. Feels like you sweat, like you really worked hard.
Did. Broke a sweat mowing the lawn.
Oh, I saw somebody mowing the lawn yesterday. It looked like that house had not seen a lawnmower in a good long while because that gentleman had his work cut out for him Sunday morning. That's what it was.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, it's that time of year.
Yeah, it is getting a little shaggy, but you know what? The weather, we were able to avoid the severe weather yesterday, but when it comes to pets, you do want to have some preparedness, whether it's weather, first aid, a disaster of another kind, and that's our topic for today.
Absolutely. Disaster preparedness and a first aid kit. And that's, I think a lot of us don't think about some of those things, you know, like, what do we do in case of, you know, disaster?
Well, right.
When was the last time you went through one?
Fortunately,
not an everyday occurrence.
Right. Most of us, we don't have to, we don't have first-hand knowledge
here.
Right,
we don't have earthquakes here. You know, so that we sort of avoid some of the big major natural disasters. Albeit after after LA caught on fire last summer, it's kind of an example of, you know, we've got great fire departments, but if a major blaze started, it could be a problem.
Right, right.
So having an escape route, you know, knowing what to do, and a to-go bag. And I just kind of chuckle about this. If you're watching any of the, you know, spy whodunit shows, you know, they always seem like they've got a go bag, right? So, but you need one. If you've got disaster, you know, in the area, it's not bad to have a go bag so that you can just pack up and head out and get in the car and head to some safety.
Severe weather, or if a fire even breaks out in your home,
fire
you never
breaks
know.
Out in your
right?
home, well, first thing, if a fire breaks out in your home, first thing is get out.
Get out, of course, right.
Get the dog, get the cat, get out. And if you can't get them, for your own personal safety, get out. It's just one of those things. You don't want to die in the fire trying to rescue your cat. And this is, that's as hard as that is to say. You need to save yourself first.
Right, right.
So let the fire professionals dial 911. Let them come back in and try to help you out. But that's the thing, you know, if you're evacuating because of a fire or there's chaos, you know, who knows? Maybe something happens, like your dog steps on something, some broken glass or something. Or your cat gets freaked out during a storm and takes off and, you know, they're gone. So what do we do? As we've said, first aid kit. So your go bag should be a first aid kit. Things that you could have in that first aid kit would be gauze pads and gauze rolls, adhesive tape, nonstick bandages, and hydrogen peroxide for your dog is never a bad thing to have in the house because they do dumb things and they eat things they shouldn't. And sometimes you're going to call your veterinarian and they're going to say, you need to give them some hydrogen peroxide to make them puke it up. So always give your veterinarian a phone call first to find out what to do, because not everything should come back up. Sometimes things that go down should stay down and try to work their way through. Digital thermometer for pet use only. Don't want to use it after you've used it on the cat or the dog, because you know where it goes. Saline solution to irrigate wounds, and tweezers to pick things out. So if, you know, anywhere from a tick to if there's a splinter, or even maybe some broken glass, an emergency blanket. And then medical records. So it's not a bad thing to have at least photos in your phone saved to your favorites of important records, medications that they're on, so that you can at least, you know, contact and go, gosh, my dog was on those meds. It was the pink pill. Great. You know, there's only a few of those. So so you want to know what they were. So it's not bad having those records and keeping them in a bag that's kind of easy access so that you could, you know, have it. Put it next to your own first aid kit. You know, that's the other thing. Like, we've got an emergency kit at home that's probably a bit more because, you know, being veterinarians, we've mm-hmm. got a bit more stuff in it. And it's stored in the basement because we don't use it that often. But I do know where it's at.
That's good. You can go get it.
I can go get it if I need to.
Yeah.
Create an emergency plan. And this is something we should all have for ourselves and include the pets in it. You know, identify pet-friendly shelters so that if you do need to evacuate with your pet, where can I take them? Or, you know, if you've got a friend or family member that you could go over to spend time with, I suppose that would suffice too. But knowing if there's, I'm going to say, hotels in the area that are pet-friendly, multiple evacuation routes. So where are the exits out of your house, out of your neighborhood? And if they're talking about, you know, we're talking about fires here. It's not a bad thing to think about. Okay, so if I'm going to get on the road, how do I get out of the area? Prepare the pet go bag with food, water, meds, leash, carrier. It's not a bad thing to have in the car so they're not roaming around the car free. And then a few comfort items, toy or two, blanket. Have your pet microchipped. So if they do get out, they could get returned to you. Make sure that information we talked about, I think a couple weeks ago, microchipping, make sure mm-hmm. that information's up to date, preferably with a cell phone number in it so that you can get, you know, contacted regardless of where you're at. And then the basics of pet first aid. It's really kind of simple. CPR is one of those things. It's there are different techniques, and you can take courses on how to do CPR because their chest isn't flat like ours is on the front to back. It's flat side on the side. Their heart's in a different location. Breathing for them is a bit trickier because they've got a much longer mouth, right?
Yeah.
So, but it's all about chest compressions. But realistically, if they've got a wound, put in some pressure on it. Most importantly, that wound's going to be painful.
Right.
They're probably not going to like you putting pressure on it. So keeping yourself safe and not getting bit. So this is where sometimes that blanket comes in handy, where you can wrap them up in a blanket and then try to get some pressure on a wound. And then recognizing heat stroke and shock. I mean, if they're delirious and kind of out of it and gums are pale and tacky, they're probably in shock. And if they look the same way, but they're profusely salivating and had been panting heavily, it might be heat stroke. Mm. So you do need to, you know, well, with 80 degrees yesterday, don't leave your children or pets in a closed car.
Right.
Right? So anything really above 60 degrees, you kind of have to be cautious about keeping those windows up. If they're going to be in the car, don't leave them in there. You know, take them with you if you go to the store. But then either have somebody stay in the car with them or go to stores that are pet friendly that you can take your dog or cat. You know, if you've got your cat out for, I know my son and his girlfriend have two cats and they like to take them for strolls around the neighborhood. So they've got leashes with harnesses. They're really much more inclined. One of them is much more inclined to take a ride in the cat carrier, the cat buggy. But it's one of those things that, you know your pets, know what. And in these emergency situations, the last thing you want to do is panic. It's hard not to. You know, if there's a fire or a tornado, I mean, you know, we do get those. If your house has been hit by that, you're going to have to dig yourself out of rubble and try to find it. Not panicking is easier said than done. But panic is contagious as well as calm is contagious. Mm. So if you can maintain that calm demeanor, your pet's going to be a little bit more calm. Everybody else around you is going to be a bit more calm. And you can focus on what do we need to do to get out of this, to get through this. How do we address this? And then you can have the, you know, the mental meltdown after the fact, after everybody's safe.
Right.
Get everybody safe, and then you can have the panic attack.
I'm gonna
after
go
that.
Curl like, up in this, the corner now. Give me a minute.
This could have gone horribly bad,
right.
And you know, we'd be in a much worse scenario. And you know, you can contemplate it then. But during the middle of it, it's better if you stay focused. And it's, you know, it's sometimes that fight or flight. It's challenging to keep it focused and cool and in one direction. But sometimes thinking about those things ahead of time, what would I do in this instance, is going to help you out a lot. So get that first aid kit put together, get it in a spot where you know where it's at, have it ready to go, have your evacuation routes and plans in place. Keep the leashes in a place or the cat's carrier in a place that you know where that is, so that you can grab it quickly to put them in to get them out of the house. And if you don't have a carrier, pillowcase works.
Okay, there you go.
I mean, that's in a pinch, you can use a pillowcase, put the cat in it, and twirl it, and then in you go. So I know it sounds weird. It almost sounds cruel, but it's they're safe, they're contained, and it's not airtight, right? So they can still breathe and get them into a car or something so that you can let them out, and then everybody can relax and try to regroup.
Try to regroup and figure it out. I would imagine towards that goal of keeping calm, having the plan, and having maybe, I don't know, rehearse the plan every once or twice.
Absolutely.
You know, will go a long way towards that. Rehearse. We did fire drills for a reason in school, right?
Right. So that everybody knows, like, when that thing goes off, get up out of your seat in an orderly fashion. Try to file down the hallway. And I've always wondered, is like, if it really occurs, is this really what happens? Do people just orderly file down? Or is it mad panic because everybody's like, oh, my God, this is not a drill. But I have been through a tornado drill that was not a drill. And we all got up out of our desks and walked out in the hallway and, you know, ducked and covered in the hallway.
Right.
Which, I don't know. It was one of those, yeah, we weren't near windows, but it's like still not in a nice, tight, contained area. But we did, you know, shelter down, and it was not a drill. It was one of those things. It was real. Panic started to set in a little bit after we'd all gotten there, right?
I bet.
But it's one of those things, like, you know, when you're in that scenario, you just kind of have to go along with it. And we had practiced it, I don't know how many times as a kid, like, you know, this is what you do. You get up, you walk out, you put in the hallway, put your head between your knees. And I now joke about it, it's like put your head between your knees and kiss your rear end goodbye, right? Yeah. But it's, you know, you practice it and it worked to a charm. We all did it. So I can say in those instances, you know, if you practice what you want to do, it usually works.
I have a pretty funny story about one day when it wasn't an actual fire, but somebody kept pulling the fire alarm. So by the fourth, and it was like the day before spring break. So by the fourth time, we all know what's going on that this happened. But the first or second time, we really didn't. And I remember it being fairly ordinary and orderly and all that good stuff. So
you get to the fourth time and everybody's like going, would somebody just go shut that thing off?
They they announced that because it was right like before the end of the day, it says, do not stop at your locker, you'll get written up. Well, Pete stopped at his locker and got caught, but did not get written up. So there's a funny story.
Oh, man.
Well, I got caught by the right person. Put it to you that way.
Yeah, follow the directions. You might not get caught by the right person.
Yeah, exactly right. Charmed life sometimes over here. But anyway, Dr. Russ Brewer, Care Animal Hospital of Pleasant Prairie. Always good information. People want to learn more about Care Animal Hospital. How can they do so?
Well, then give us a phone call at 262-694-6515. Or check us out on the web at careanimalhospital.com. We're also on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok as Care Animal Hospital of Pleasant Prairie.
And I knew immediately it was the right person because I started taunting him. You going to write me up? And I was told to get the heck out of there.
Move along.
In so many words. Anyway, Dr. Brewer.
Well, enjoy the weather today, Pete.
Yes, indeed. You too. And a little free air conditioning. Open all the windows when I get home.
A little later. Yep.
It's good stuff. Dr. Russ, you have a great week. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Thanks, Pete.
728 WLIP.
WLIP.com is your place to keep track of live and local news stories from around the Kenosha area, across Wisconsin, and around the world. Click on the K-Town Report link for in-depth local stories and the show's page to listen to podcasts of previous WLIP broadcasts. You can also stream WLIP coast to coast at WLIP.com, as well as keep up to date with weather forecasts, sports, entertainment, and political news. Live and local news, information, and so much more right now at WLIP.com.